This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Small is beautiful. That is one takeaway from the BBC's list of the 100 greatest films since 2000. The Beeb culled list from 177 critics around the world, and the result? Nary a top grosser in the bunch. Not that Hollywood seemed to care much, but the internet sure did. Where was Avatar, Transformers, an Indian film, comedies, films directed by women or people of color? Or as Twitter critics of the critics list observed, films that anyone has seen other than movie reviewers. Well, we've got one with us, Ty Burr, Boston Globe film critic and author of Gods Like Us. He is well aware of the chasm between critics and the mainstream movie-going masses and is here to talk with us about it. Ty, great to speak with you again.
Thanks, Virginia.
So let's get to the top 10, at least, of the greatest films according to the BBC's list.
Well, and let's keep in mind that this was a poll of 177 film critics from around the world. At number 10 is the Coen Brothers' No Country for Old Men. Not exactly an obscure film, won the Best Picture. Number 9 is A Separation, the Iranian film that won the Best Picture Foreign Language Oscar a couple of years ago. Number 8 is Yai Yai, a 1 and a 2. It's Taiwanese film. Number 7 is The Tree of Life, Terrence Malick's very controversial, free-form, impressionistic film about Brad Pitt and dinosaurs. Number 6, Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind, with Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet. Number 5, Richard Linklater's Boyhood. Number 4, Spirited Away, the animated film by Japan's Hayao Miyazaki. Number 3, There Will Be Blood. I drink your milkshake, remember? Number 2, probably one that a lot of American viewers have not seen or heard of, but it's tremendous, In the Mood for Love, a Hong Kong film by the director Wong Kar-wai from the year 2000. And then number 1, guaranteed to cause arguments at the dining room table and in the candy line at the theater, David Lynch's Mulholland Drive.
Wow. Would I be out of bounds, Ty, to say that the box office for all these combined might not equal Shrek 3?
That is probably correct, especially once you factor out No Country for Old Men. Yes, that's not the point. You know, this is an argument that film critics hear a lot. You know, why don't you like movies? Everybody else does. Our job is not to reflect popular taste. Sometimes there's plenty of overlap. We love it when a entertainment movie is actually entertaining. It's made with craft and joy and creativity rather than just cranking some product out. And in fact, you know, if you look at the BBC list, there's plenty of entertainment on there. There's like 4 Pixar movies. There's Mad Max Fury Road. We like entertainment movies when they do it well. But part of our job is also to point to and appreciate the films that push the boundary and give you an experience that you can't get anywhere else.
So for you, given that a lot of times there is this chasm between the critics' picks and popular films, were there surprises for you in what was included or maybe left out?
Oh, you know, it always comes down to a personal opinion. This is a pretty rigorous list. If somebody wants to set out and sit down and watch the movies that really expand the boundaries of what cinema can do, this is a good list to start with. I mean, and you may have your patience tested. There's a couple of movies by the Hungarian film director Bellatar, which give new meaning to the phrase slow cinema, you know. But on the other hand, there's also Moulin Rouge by Baz Luhrmann. I agree that I don't think there are enough films directed by women on the list. That's a problem with the industry as a whole, and a problem with the BBC poll, which didn't poll enough women critics, and they're out there, trust me. I think overall it's a good list that you can argue with endlessly, which is the point of these lists.
Well, you get lumped in with the joyless, snooty critics who don't choose, you know, Captain America or whatever.
But you know what? I like the Captain America movies. Some of the superhero movies I don't like, but those ones are okay. I like crap as much as anybody else. But it has to be good crap. Can I say that on NPR?
You just did. But I'm wondering if it doesn't matter now. I mean, we have Rotten Tomatoes that has, you know, one column of reviews for viewers and the other with critics like your reviews on the other side. Is that just the best way to do it?
And there is a chasm between them. And some people, especially out there in the real world, get very upset, for instance, when, you know, a superhero movie like Suicide Squad gets terrible reviews. And I know that as a critic, I am powerless to stop Suicide Squad from becoming a hit, even if I write a terrible review. And that's fine. I'd rather help the smaller movies find an audience than keep the movies that I don't particularly like away from an audience.
Ty Burr, great to speak with you as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ty Burr, he's Boston Globe's film critic and author of Gods Like Us. You can read his list of top 10 films of the millennium, as well as the BBC's greatest films from the era, according to critics. Links are at wordofmouthradio.org.